What you being such a damn fool for? It's only a phone call. I said he was to ring. Oh, I can't. If this was to get out, I'd be the laughing stock of the county. Good old boys never talk to me again, that's a fact. They promised you a steak dinner. Since when you been able to turn down an offer like that? Suppose you've got steak dinners coming out your ears, you can afford to be so picky. It's only dinner. You can get your own dinner, been doing it 15 years. What's so special about going down? Oh, the steak dinner. Just think. 12-ounce fried in butter, prime T-bone, juices flowing so sweet. Are you mad? You gonna throw away your standing in the community for a piece of meat? You gotta be off your head. You want meat, you come down Hardee's, have a burger, what's the difference? Y'all been down at Hardee's before? Hardee's of South Memorial Parkway. Finest burgers in the South, and that's a fact. Established 1966, so it's real old. Ain't nothing like a Hardee's quarter pounder after you've been fishing out on the county lake. You just drive up there, out of the window, and there's Mary Lou, just as pretty as a picture. In a tartan uniform, that's authentic Scotch tartan too, with the hair all done up just like when she was Colesville Carnival Queen. And you all just tell her what you want, and she's off on them rollers faster than a groundhog after comb. 45 seconds, that's all it takes. Because they go on kind of like a training course that gets them to do things real fast, you know, so customer ain't kept waiting. Of course, it's a real big order, like with slaw or apple pie, but let you have 60 seconds. But that's still real fast, believe me. Of course, I'm a little too old for the rollers, and I never was much in the beauty state, so I don't get to go on the window. I just clean out the cheeks and muff up in the kitchen and grill the burgers we want the regulars off sick. Right now, I'm on my break. 15 minutes every 4 hours. They don't allow no loafers neither. See that Miss Pierce over there? At the checkout. Kind of fierce looking woman. Glasses on a rope. Well, I swear she done got herself a stopwatch, because just as soon as you want to go to the bathroom even, she got Mr. Pierce out of his office down in the hall just to see what you're doing. What she think I'm doing? Diddling with myself? I wouldn't do that, that's a sin. Oh, what kind of man she think I am? Mr. Bragg. I knew him when he was playing old Bill Bragg, kept a grocery store in Madison County. Yes, sir, me and Mr. Bragg go back a long way, and I don't let him forget it. I tells him, you don't bother me none, Billy Bragg, and I won't bother you none. And he don't. It's just that to Miss Pierce fussing and spying. Y'all seen our family restaurant? That's real homie. It's got ivy and pot plants all around the wall, just green and cool as if they was real. And on the Sundays, all the families come down for brunch after the meeting to the First Church of Christ in Gilead, and the kids has floats and milkshakes, and it's real homey. Real homey it is. Almost as homey as Mr. Bragg's store out in Madison County. Now that was a place you could call homey. And we're nothing you couldn't get there, from pack of snuff to a new plowshare. And there's Bill Bragg sitting there, His feet up on the wood, on the stove, smell of wood burning sweet. Old hound dog Bar's feet. And he says, him, how goes it, Billy Bragg? And he says, oh, fair to middling, fair to middling. And if he don't say no more, you know his dog has been giving him a hard time, so you hold your peace and you go your ways. But mostly he says, oh, fair to middling, but old Pa Potter ain't looking none too good. And then you know that he's set to talk. So you sits down, you pulls up an old oil drum, you put your own feet up on that stove, you get yourself a jar of tobacco, and he says, how come, Billy Bragg, how come? And he tells you how old Ma Potter got so mad at old Pa Potter, she threw her old pickling pot at him. And then, of course, maybe you get Curtis Mabry coming from the farm or the sharecroppers for the oil for the lamps. And pretty soon you got a whole crowd of good old boys just sitting around, jawing away. And then maybe Curtis's woman will holler out from outside in the truck. She'll say, Curtis, baby, you come out of there. What you doing in there? You come out for a 10-year high. And he'd be off out of there as fast as he had firecrackers in his pants, I tell you. And they'd peel away off up the governor's drive, leave half the tires on the road. Well, store burned down, right to the ground. Or nothing the soul could do to save it. It was just an old wood shack. So I asked Billy Bragg to do but collect on his insurance, sell the land for trailer park, buy himself a franchise, go into fast food. Now it's Mr. Bragg to one and all. Lord, show do move in mysterious ways. Now there ain't hardly a place the good old boys can go for a chaw and a jaw, as we call it. Mostly they hang out on the Curly's truck stop out on Hurricane Creek Road. I goes down there myself when the pickup's getting low on gas, but it's not the same as it was. Yeah, we done see a lot of changes in Colesville. Nothing been the same since the munitions come, that's a fact. First it was the trailers, and then it was the freeway. And pretty soon we got a whole new town around here. I see they just done made downtown, the old town, a historic district, putting on plaques and all. That don't make a nice place to be. Slum's still a slum where it's got dirt. Plaques are not. I don't go down there much myself. Too many, you know. Where was I? Oh yeah, I was telling you how with the munitions, the town was eating up the country. And the government was telling the farmers they was growing too much anyhow, so most of them just sell out and move away. Or just sit around twiddling their thumbs. I mean, fancy paying folks good money just to sit and do nothing, leaving good land idle. I remember when all this around here were nothing but tobacco for miles and miles and miles. Never got no land myself. Oh, I meant to. But the machines come in first. Back in the 60s it was, Mr. Struthers got himself a combine, do the work of 12 men half the time. So what's he do, said the lay man off. I couldn't get no farm work. So I took me down to where they was building the freeway. Now people these days take the freeway for granted, but I tell you there was one hell road to build. It was the earth, you see. Too soft. Everything just sunk right in. And the dust, oh, where that stuff dried out, I ain't got no so much dust in my lungs for all my life, not even in the great drought of 53. Oh, we done got a lot of changes around here. I remember when the Negroes weren't even allowed on the buses as we was. Cause you're not allowed to call them Negroes anymore. You gotta call them African Americans. African Americans. They ain't no more African than I am. called Governor Wallace, George Wallace. Old George, he fought all that like a good one. But what could he do with the feds and the courts and the Congress and the president all against him? It was the government that shot him, paralyzed him from the neck down. It was the FBI on the orders of the president. I read it, so that's a fact. Desegregation. Bullshit. Y'all can bus folks any which way you choose. So you got black folks and black kids and white kids all sort of mixed up together like an Irish stew. But you can't change the way folks feel in their hearts. And you can't change what the good Lord wills. And if the Almighty, in his infinite wisdom, has ordained it that the white man be set to rule over the black man by virtue of his superior intellect and the future of his hand, well, who are we to argue? Now, don't get me wrong, I ain't got nothing against the black man, it's just black and white are different, and busing ain't gonna make them seem. My boy Chester, he just started in school when the busing started. I joined the KKK then. Klan. Even the Klan couldn't do nothing. I kept him out of school for a while, but well, his ma wanted him to have education, so I give in. Now he's got all these liberal notions and lost his faith and all. I pray for him every night, that's a fact. Pray you'll find the Lord once more. Sometimes I wish I kept him out of school for good. His ma could see him now. I don't know what she'd say. Jason went to Africa last year with the Peace Corps. Met himself a new friend named John Olichi from Nairobi. Brought him back. They was going to stay at Hal Johnson Motel, but I said I won't have no son of mine sleeping in no motel, and he sleep on his own roof like I always do, and once he gets up and he fall all of a sudden. But Paul, he says, what about John Olichi? Well, he can stay too, I says. Then he says something, take me way back. He said, you remember Wesley Washington? And I said, yeah, sure, I remember Wesley Washington. What about it? Well, do you remember my birthday party, my 7th birthday party? Sure, I remember it, I said. You won't allow me for to invite Wesley Washington to my birthday party. So, I said, Paul, Wesley Washington is black, he says. So, I said, John Olichi is black too. So, I said, Paul, he said, how come you won't allow me for to invite Wesley Washington to my 7th birthday party, but now you so hot for John Olichi come sleep under your same roof? Son, I said, that's different. John Olichi is an African, but Wesley Washington is a Negro. Not just the Negroes, no. It's the sister boys, too. Got a lot of sister boys in Colesville since the munitions gun. Cause the military don't allow no sister boys, so I don't know what to do, but maybe to work in the kitchens or something. The fact is, the town's full of them these days. Got hundreds of them. Man ain't safe to walk the streets at night for all the sister boys, that's a fact. We even got sissy boys here in Hardy's. I told Mr. Bragg we shouldn't serve him. He got with all the diseases around these days, and he says we're not to discriminate. Besides, we didn't know they were sissy boys for sure. Got himself some funny notions since he became management. He had his way, love wouldn't be able to smite Sodom and Gomorrah for fear of discrimination. So now we got dozens of them come. They go down there, Sissy Boy Club. That's 7th Avenue in the shopping mall. But the sheriff wants closed down because it's a health hazard. And then they come on here. I says to Mary Lou, how can you bet talk to them? You've been so pretty and the carnival queen and all. You hush your mouth, she says. Them's good boys. Man, her telling me hush my mouth. Me old enough to be a grandpa. Even young women getting uppity these days. We didn't speak for 2 whole days after that. Well, we would have made up anyhow. It gets kind of lonesome on the graveyard shift. It's only me, Mary Lou, and Miss Bears. We would have started talking, but was it Sissy Boy kind of brought things to a head? Friday night, about 3 a.m., in comes the Sissy Boy for a burger. Mary Lou says he's kind of regular. Never has his car or nothing because he lives close by Five Points where all the Sissy Boys live. Anyhow, he comes in, it's cheeseburger, french fries. Now, so happens, I'm out in the kitchen doing the grilling, but I can see through, and I can tell it's a Sissy Boy because he's got a mustache and leather jacket like all the Sissy Boys nowadays. So happens, I'm just about to go take the leap, and I figures to myself, I ain't hurting myself for no Sissy Boy. So I go to the bathroom anyhow. Next thing I know, there's Mary Lou screaming fit to bust, and Miss Pierce hollering for the police. Of course, I rushes out, and there's this negro beating up 7 shades of shit out of this Sissy Boy. Seems like what happened was the negro made some kind of crack about he was so glad we used paper plates, and he sure hoped we burned him up good and proper after. And Mary Lou told him to hush his mouth, and she got mad, and then the nigger got mad and said, what was she getting mad at? It's only a goddamn Sissy Boy. And then the Sissy Boy gets mad, spits in the nigger's goddamn eye. And the nigger starts hollering out, he's pies and he's going to die of AIDS. And no goddamn white trash Sissy Boy going to spit at him. Because I didn't know this at the time. Mary Lou going to tell me after. All I know is there's this nigger and a Sissy Boy rolling around on the floor. And from what I can see, Nigger's doing a pretty good job. Mary Lou screams at me, telling him, stop it. The way I look at it, what do I care if a Nigger and a Sissy Boy beat shit out of each other? Serves them both right. But then, the Nigger pulls a knife. And then I get mad. Cause there ain't no black man gonna pull a knife on no white man in Alabama, not while I'm alive. Sissy Boy, oh no, Sissy Boy. So I grabbed a nigger by the collar, and that took some doing him rolling around all over the place. But I did it, and I pulled him up off the Sissy Boy, and I slapped him into the counter just as hard as I could. I may be an old farmhand, but I've done my share of bare knuckle fighting as a kid at the county fair, and I can use my fists. I closed my eyes and I slammed into him just as hard as I could on account of that knife. I figured if I don't get him first, he's gonna get me sure as hell. So I knock his arm against the counter and the knife falls on the floor and I kick it out of the window. That pulled him up short. And he just stood there, panting like a hound dog at noon, staring at me. You get out of here, boy. And don't you show your face here again, or I'll whip your ass some more. We didn't need no second telling, because he's out that door fast and you can say knife. Heard him peel away while he was Governor's Drive. Well, Mary Lou's fussing over the Sissy Boy. But I can see he's only a little cut and hurt himself enough. And I told him, oh, you get back from there. Because you ought to have done have some gloves or rubber gloves or a mask or something. You can't be too careful these days. She don't take no mind of me. And then Miss Pierce starts moaning about how I broke her checkout when the nigger had his hand on the till. So I just go back in the kitchen. Ain't no pleasing some women. So So I'm back in the kitchen. But I see through, and Mary Lou gets the sister boy coffee, and she tells him soon that he ought to go to the hospital. But he says no, he's ready to go home, and he don't want to see any fussing, don't want to see no doctors, and don't want to collect all his insurance. I reckon he don't want any doctors taking any tests, you know what I mean? Anyhow, he says soon he's ready to go, so sister boy goes, none too steady. And Marilyn comes back in the kitchen. She says she's sorry she got mad at me. And she thought I was a real hero. And she kissed me on the cheek. And I said, oh, sure, it was nothing. I forgot all about it. A couple of days later, Sunday's quiet night. In comes this other negro. And he's asking to speak to Mr. Carter. Now Mary Lou come and fetch me from the kitchen. He's a handsome fellow, fall negro. But I had never seen him before in my life. And I can't figure how come he knows my name. Mary Lou ain't never seen him before either. So we stare at each other. And I said, okay, boy, what's your business? Mr. Carter, you saved my friend Tony's life. He wanted to come and thank you himself, but he's working nights on the base himself right now. So I thought I'd come and thank you on his behalf. Now he's real soft-spoken, this nigga. Almost a gentleman, you might say. And you can tell he's had some education. I didn't know where to look. Yes, sir. That knife could well have proved fatal. Without your intervention, Tony could be in the morgue right now. He's very grateful, and he told me to ask you to drop by some evening to share a steak dinner with us as a mark of our appreciation. As a mark of our appreciation. He used words like they dance in the air. Tony means the world to me, Mr. Carter. And I'm very grateful too. If he died, I think I'd kill myself. Here's our card. You all give us a call when you want to come have that steak dinner. I'm very grateful too. Here, let me shake you by the hand. And he stood there. This negro, with his hand outstretched, expecting me to shake it. I ain't never shook hands with a nigger in all my life. Except in John Malici, he's African. And this guy ain't just a nigger. It's a sissy boy nigger and all. Oh, what's the fella to do? There's Miss Pierce and Mary Lou looking on. And Meredith's smiling all over her pretty face, and even Miss Pierce got some kind of gooey woman's look in her eye. So I did it. I took the nigger by his hand, and you know something? His hand was soft as a baby's. Weren't like a nigger's hand at all. Yeah, you give us a call, Mr. Carter, when you want to come and have that dinner, he said. And he went on his way. I keep looking at this card, thinking about them two. Got both the names on it just like they were married. Hear so much about diseases these days, but them two look pretty healthy. And the sissy boy didn't look, and the negro didn't look like a sissy boy at all. Sometimes I'm just minded to just tear it up, throw it away, forget the whole thing. But I don't know. It's a free dinner. What do you think? I'll be honest. Gets kind of lonesome of an evening since my wife died. I could use the company, and that's a fact. Sure, I can come down to Hardee's, have a burger if I'm on in the evening, but who wants to see the same old faces you all see every other day of the week?
Yeah, I could do with the company, and that's a fact.
Oh, just one thing. Y'all won't go blabbing about this, will ya? I swore Marilou to silence. If this was to get out, I'll never be able to show my face in Curly's truck stop ever again. Good old boys would never talk to me again.